And then Cody with the house shows. Have him go through the whole year, just made everyone more hungrier. Everyone was set. When he walked out last year, it didn't feel as big as him walking out this year. Yeah, we were there this year, not that last year. But I mean, for sure.
Of course it's not, because he won. One, he won. One, he didn't. If you win one, you lose one. It's going to be a difference.
All right, well, don't even bring it up because we're not going to get off of it. It's just going to be.
We've already started. This is our WrestleMania post-game recap show. JT, Ryan, and Chad breaking it down. As you can tell, we got a heated discussion going on here over the Rock Cody saga. Reigns Cody, should he have won at WrestleMania 39? Was it the right call? Was it the wrong call? You know, Ryan thinks, you know, this was the right way to go. Chad thinks he could have won a year ago. You know, anyway.
All right, go, Chad. Just go. I'll let you go. I'll respect my elders.
I think I've said about Pete. I, you know, what they did was great for night two. Okay. Now, night two was great. Night one, we can get to it. We can dissect it. I thought night one was a bad show. It was a bad WrestleMania show. And I don't think that was necessary. And I still don't think, like, just because night two in of itself was a great show that had a great payoff doesn't necessarily mean that if Cody wins last year, and I know it's not necessarily, I mean, this goes back to, this is my thinking. Like, the match last year, I thought, was on pace as it was being worked to be legitimately in ring one of the greatest WrestleMania main events of all time. It was a fantastic, fantastic match that was drawing you in. Really, you know, it was this. It's the same to me. This is almost the same debate as Reigns versus Brock at 31 and the Rollins cash in. You know, and luckily, like, unfortunately, with that one, that was in an era where they decided to kind of screw the fan agenda and business went down. We all know that. Some metrics now between the ratings on Raw last night, house show attendance. I mean, they're going to be setting these gate records because the ticket prices are just keep going up. But that's just going to be an inevitable thing. Like every super show now is going to have a new gate record because you're
not paid for a souvenir in Minnesota. Everything's up.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, you know, as somebody looking for a house right now, it's kind of the world we live in currently, but that in of itself, I do think wrestling's hot right now and that's fine, but I don't know if Cody would have won last year. And you say, like, The Rock's coming in and he's facing Cody or he's facing Roman or who, whatever the heck you want to do this year. It doesn't mean that, like, it wouldn't have still skyrocketed with just The Rock. If you look at just The Rock metrics from a micro level, he's one of the, probably the, I mean, worldwide, like, who's a bigger star than The Rock just from a name marketability? There's not that many people. So that's just what it is. But
Ryan, I'm curious in your thought on this. So if, let's say the TKO thing doesn't happen and Rock doesn't come back and this isn't involved, right? Because I don't think that was, like, when did The Rock coming back become part of the plan? And if he doesn't come back, like, how does it play out in your mind? And I'm not on either side here. I don't particularly think it would have mattered either way, probably. I thought Cody should have won last year in the moment, but in the way it played out, I think it ended up being perfectly fine. And, like, there was an awesome moment being there the other night. Yeah. But, like, how do you think it would have gone if Rock wasn't involved? And do you think it would have been did they luck into an even hotter payoff than it would have been otherwise with The Rock stuff?
Of course, The Rock added to it. The Rock didn't join the board on January 3rd or whatever? Is that what you're saying? What would it have been?
Yeah, let's say he joins after Mania. He's not back in the fold. Like, he's not going to be stepping into the Mania main event, right, if all that doesn't happen. Because he joined the board is when he gets involved again, right? So let's say that doesn't happen pre-Mania. It's post-Mania. What do they do with that?
The plan's the plan. Cody versus Roman, too.
And Cody just beats him, right, with that Rock.
Yeah.
Do you think it's as hot or as the story is as sharp as what we got with, like, Cena coming out and Taker coming out and, like, all the bombs are getting dropped and everything?
Yeah, I think the Bloodline has to get their comeuppance because the Bloodline saved Roman so many times throughout. The Bloodline is the Roman story, right? Him being the head of the table.
Probably Jey Uso and, like, Zayn, right? Versus, like, Cena and all. Like, they probably don't do Cena and Taker without Rock coming back, is my guess.
Yeah. Maybe they insert, you know, Tama and Fatu earlier just so there's more bodies out there or whatever. But right. I think we still get Jay. We still get, or we still get Jimmy and Jay. We still get Solo with Cena. And that's probably it. And then, oh, Jesus, you had the Rock and Taker. You know, that's incredible right there. Yeah. But yeah, I think we probably don't get a Bloodlines rules. We just probably get chaos with like a stupid ref bump or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know,
and what I liked about it, it's the old complaint I've always made about like Cena and JBL from 21, is that JBL's entire title reign is all about like barely winning. The cabinet saves his ass constantly. He escapes these crazy predicaments. And then he is in his biggest challenge and no one helps him. Like, he's just on his own for nine right. minutes and loses, which is why I did like the way they did it on Sunday, in that they threw the kitchen sink at everything. Like, the Bloodline should be all hands on deck for that match. Like, this is it. Like, this is it, buddy. Like, we're going to be out there rolling everyone out there. So I like that they finally took that step forward and made it a brawl, the weapons, everyone interfering. Like, that's what that final loss should feel like. It shouldn't just be like a normal match.
Felt like a movie, as it should have. But even dating back to October, September, when they crossed paths on that random SmackDown, you felt it. You know, it was boiling and it was building all the way up to it. And then when he won the Royal Rumble, him pointing to him in the box, you felt it again. So would have they have still had that emotion? It probably wouldn't have been at 12, but it definitely would have been at 9. So I still think even without the Rock coming around, it still would have boiled up to that boiling point. And you forget that Cody had only been back for 4.5 total months, not including the injury, at WrestleMania 39. And for them selling the company in that transitional period to go with Cody Rhodes once he's back for the 4 or 5 months, that's a risk. And why just stay true, stay with the Golden Goose? And they did. I think it was the right move. And Cody showed that he can lead this company, doing all the house shows, staying late, doing the media, signing the autographs, doing everything and anything a top guy should. And Triple H said it right. It's really hard to build a babyface, especially in this era. Look how long Roman Reigns failed. So it was like an organic build. And I think that him losing at 39 definitely helped that organic build become even more organic and ready for WrestleMania 40. I don't think you can really deny it, honestly. Yeah, you can say you could see a path where he gets it. And I understand that you see that path. And I could see a path too. And I think it would have worked. But I don't think it would have worked to the 110th degree of what it is now. Perhaps it would have worked.
Does he become the guy off of the win at 39 versus what he'll be now at 40?
I think.
I don't know that answer. What do you think? Like, if he wins at 39, is he the torchbearer? Because now I think he's in the lineage of the Cena, Austin. Like, I think that's where he's at now. Because I think he's, to Ryan's point, he's proven himself. He's got the name. He's got the look. He can talk. He's personable. Like, he's what they've been waiting for. He's a godsend to them. And now I think they're going to ride it. Like, he is their guy now for the next.
Can I give an example? It took them this long to bring the dog around. It took them this long to bring the wife around. If they brought that shit around right away, he would have been easily rejected, hands down. That's how much goodwill he's built up.
Yeah, I think you still, time will tell. Like, because at 21, they probably thought that with Batista, and just with age and injuries, like, you know, he never made it that far. And that was a rehabbing period. I mean, the best thing they could say now is they have a baby face on top that feels still fresh, and they're in a hot market period, which they haven't been for a while. And that's where you get in that lineage. But, I mean, Cody, I know wrestling ages older, but I mean, it's still like, I mean, Cody's older than me, so he's not. I mean, you, the time was definitely now. Like, he can't be.
How old is he? What is he? 36?
38.
With his style, he can go another. I mean, they can have him on top for 5 years and be fine.
I would say like 4 to 5 years is the window you're looking at. So.
And also, they've done a much better job building other people up around him so he can kind of had some stuff outside of the Bloodline. Like, last year, he had the whole saga with Brock. He flirted with the Judgment Day and whatnot. Now he feels so distant from the Judgment Day, he'll have a whole crop of heels that kind of be thrown right at him, not affiliated with the Judgment Day or the Bloodline. Yeah. So, especially with the draft.
That would be something with Rollins, too, there, right? Because Drew and Punk seem pretty set together. Like, Rollins is kind of Unless they do Rollins Reigns, I guess when Reigns comes back, but he's, you know, he's going to be gone for a bit, I would assume. I don't see him being super active for a couple months here. So
Reigns?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be back for
SummerSlam. I think
SummerSlam's earliest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Rollins too, though. I mean, Rollins, we got to talk about him because with the celebration for him, I thought was a little weird. With him on the outside, you know, his contract's up. I'd be shocked if he left. But, you know, he does feel like someone that it's kind of a moment for him where, like, he's never – I mean, I think at this point we can safely say, like, he's never going to be the top dog, right?
And no, you're
sorry. Like, that's past. So does he say, like, oh, I could be – hypothetically elsewhere. I don't know. I mean, it's probably worth at least exploring a little bit on his behalf, but
I'd be shocked. I mean, they put so much into him. Like they've given him a lot. It's not like he's been perpetually, yeah, he may not ever be the guy, but like he's basically 1B and he's always protected. His wife is there. Like I would just be pretty surprised if he like pulls himself.
Oh, I definitely would too, but I think he'll be gone for a while too. I think. Well,
is he hurt or not? I feel like they've been saying he's hurt forever, but I don't know if he really is.
I think
like,
he just wants to
at this point, who knows? But yeah. Mentally, I think he's drained. He's got to be physically and mentally drained.
Yep. Yeah. So all right. So he's gone. Reigns is gone. Rock's gone for a bit. Yeah. So I mean, they did a good job building Priest up. Is Drew resigned? I mean, I don't know. They haven't said anything about that.
Technically, I mean, but he. I mean, there's. How can he? I mean, at least like verbally, I'd put like Rollins at, I don't know, like 90 to 95%. Drew's like got to be 95 to 99%. Like I can't really foresee him because he's actually in the position now where he now is one. Like I'd say he's slotted over Rollins. Like he's.
Well, I mean, to have a ready-made feud with Punk is the next best thing to being in a championship feud, right? So, I mean, if he fights Punk at SummerSlam, like, that's a big match for him.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank or something, I don't know, whenever Punk's going to be back. But,
yeah,
you know, that's a big match. And then I think another guy that could come over in the draft and fight Cody for a couple of months could be Lashley. Like, I think he's a dude that you could probably milk a couple months of a world title picture out of. It'd be fresh. Like, they never really fought Cody and Lashley. You could bring Street Profits with him as his backup. Like, I think that could be pretty good.
Or in Styles. Yeah.
It feels to me like Cody should be drafted to SmackDown.
That was going to be my next question to you guys. What show do you think's more valuable? Because that's the show you put on Cody.
Well, that's tough because you got the Netflix thing going. So
Rod's going to be on FS1 once college football starts.
Yeah, I mean, October, once they leave USA, that three-month period before they're on Netflix is a weird situation.
So Rod's on FS1 for those 3 months? Is that what it is?
No, Rod doesn't have a home yet.
Well, Rod doesn't have a home. They're going to
extend. USA will probably keep him for three
months. Yeah, I'm sure they will, or whatever. But yeah, Fox is kicking them to FS1 in September. Yeah. What is it, for the Big 12 Friday nights? Yeah. So,
So then when do they go to USA SmackDown?
October 1st, Friday, or whatever day they pick. What's that?
Netflix is 1/1/2025.
Yeah. I think they want Cody on the Netflix thing is my guess. Because USA is not as big a deal. I think he stays and I think Judgment Day or Priest. I think Priest is going to SmackDown.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. And then you have the big 3 hours and Cody can easily fill that in whatever.
I would leave Orton on SmackDown and have him and LA Knight be your guys with Priest maybe.
Yeah.
Bring Lashley and Styles to Raw because you can set them up as contenders for Cody. You can do those guys back to back.
Yeah, you're just going to have contenders for Cody if he stays on Raw because, like, I mean, he can't face Nakamura.
No, you can't do that.
Nakamura's going to NXT. Yeah, let's do that.
No, Lashley in France is like a perfect – or AJ, either of those guys is a perfect heat up quick. You know, you can do it in a few weeks. They're both a lot of credibility as title contenders. But Jay won that match too, right? So could they do Cody and Jay in at Backlash? Like that seems possible.
Well, Jay and Priest is the direction with that.
So you think they both get moved over?
Well, perhaps. Well, that could be. He's just number one contender. They could have it at Backlash and the draft is right after that, I believe. Well, right before, either way. So that, you know, you don't really have to have with the draft right there.
You can have it on the draft raw even or whatever the fuck they want to do. But
yeah.
The gaziness going around that point.
But it'll be interesting too. So if Reigns is gone and Rock's gone, like as the bloodline is done, like a solo, like all that's done.
Well, you got Tama Tonga and now today Jacob Fatu. So
that you think they do like a U, like,
I mean, they're bringing these guys in.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I don't know if you do like a new bloodline versus old blood, you know, some other.
You could definitely.
My prediction has been that Rock is going to run the bloodline via phone through Paul Heyman. And it's going to be
show up when he
maybe it's the young guys or whatever it is. You know, he's running the show. Rock's running the show. He's diming out Reigns the whole time. Like, oh, yeah, this fucking guy set him up. He still blew it. Like, what, you know, like talking shit. Rock gets the title match with Cody, makes himself the top contender. Reigns comes back at SummerSlam and costs him, whether it's on purpose or a fuck up again. And then you start the build toward Reigns Rock at Mania with Reigns as a face. And then that's for the tribal chief. But I think Rock runs the bloodline between now and SummerSlam. But it's through Heyman as the man on the phone. So yeah, maybe they bring in Fatu and Tama, and it's them with Solo and Jimmy and Heyman managing them through Rock. I think that's how it goes.
There's enough juice there for that. Definitely, it's fresh. Have new targets, new whatever. You know, you're keeping the Rock and Roman on TV. You know, in a way too. So yeah, it works. That works for sure.
Well, you could do a Bloodline Judgment Day thing too, like that. The two factions go to war or something. You know,
there's been history a little bit there too as well. So Easter eggs and whatnot. So yeah, that should be your SmackDown, and then Raw should just be totally built around Cody and Sammy. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly are going to do a lot. They're going to continue to push Sammy pretty hard. I mean, they didn't have him beat Gunther. No. We didn't even mention Gunther. I mean, he's another guy for Cody, right? If we don't get Rock Cody at SummerSlam, I think Gunther Cody could be the match as well. I don't know if they want to beat Gunther again, though.
That's don't do Gunther right away.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Because you don't want him to get beaten again. Like, or then you want to already end Cody's run, I guess. So, like, that's the question with him, too. I think Gunther Cody's an awesome match. Maybe you do that for Mania. If you do Rock Roman, you do Gunther Cody.
Yeah, Gunther's in the back.
You got to be delicate with.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've gone this far with Gunther. They can't start fucking it up.
He's not a, you know, he's younger than Cody, but not a spring chicken either. So, you know, in the next year or two, you got to decide, like, what this guy is. Is he
I think he is. Priest isn't probably a long time champion, right? So, like, if you get it onto a face, and then you have Gunther destroy that. You could do that where he just destroys the face on SmackDown and becomes champion there. I mean, you could easily do that too. Yeah. Whether it's Jay, maybe give Jay a token month. Orton, like whoever you want to throw in there that beats Priest, and then you have Gunther wreck them at SummerSlam to win the belt, and then him and Cody are champions headed to Mania. You could do that too.
All right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Speaking of Chad, which match did you prefer? Which match did you enjoy more at WrestleMania? The IC or the night two main event?
That's tough. I mean, I think bell to bell, it's Gunther versus Sammy. But the night two main event, it's a very tough match to rank. I mean, the last month I've watched Sting's retirement match, and then I've been live for this one. Both were tough to rank. I think the Sting retirement match at least had, to me, the cohesiveness of like a brawl from the start and a easy like thread line through the story that was easy to kind of see. The main event of night two here, I mean, it was hot for the intros because the show was so much better. Like, you can't – the pacing and the show and everything, like, they hustled more out. You didn't have four long entrances. You only had two. So that helped as well. It just felt like, okay, like, we're actually ready – for this match now, where night one, it was like, I'm cold, I'm ready to go home. But I mean, the first 15, 20 minutes of the Roman Cody match, I mean, you knew there was going to be something grandiose that was happening at the end. So you're kind of just waiting for that. Everything else was table setting. But the way they did the last 10 minutes of that match, really from the Jimmy Uso interference on, Yeah, I mean, it's I would say it's a modern day Over the Edge 1998. You know, it was, you're probably not going to get as wild a reaction from a live crowd for something like that and be able to execute it as well as they did. I mean, we'll see. Like, that it really raised the bar. I mean, it was the type of moment that can only happen on WrestleMania. You know, if that happens on any random show, like, it's just, and really like a landmark WrestleMania too. I think the gravity of the match fit what happened with it. But yeah, everything was perfect. I did like in the main event that in the moment, I actually, in rewatching it today on tape, like, stuff made more sense, I would say. And just because live, like, you hear the Shield music come on.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, wait a minute. It's like, did Ambrose jump?
Ambrose? Yeah. I never go with Ambrose. So I'm like, oh shit, they got Ambrose, like, Moxley's
back. He ain't been around since Revolution. Like, what is this?
He's just in Mexico. What's going on with him?
Yeah, right.
It was a great tease.
Yeah, you're waiting on them two to come down the aisle together, him and Rollins. And then just from where we were, like, I couldn't even really see Rollins get the ring. I just saw
he got punked
go flying and so some of that stuff, like, got lost on me. But and even the stuff right at the end where, you know, like, Reigns, the reason he lost was he hit the chair on Rollins,
which I like. I thought that was really poetic.
I mean, that's long term storytelling. We're talking, what, 10 years? Yeah,
the Shield hate with Rollins cost them in the end. You know, like, that old wounds.
10 years of payback. So that to me was portrayed better on tape than live, just from where we were. But I mean, the pure emotion of being there live when Cena's music hit, and then when you heard the gong, because everybody was expecting Austin, but then you hear the gong and the lights go out. I mean, that was just wild.
Yeah.
And then of course with the final three count, like, you go nuts too. Those three moments, I mean, that's three of, you know, the 10 loudest pops I've ever heard live, and they happened 5 minutes from each other.
Cena definitely got bitched out. Him and Rollins both kind of got, I mean, Rollins is explainable. Rollins. Right? He had already had two matches. He was pretty banged up. He went out there one last time to his buddy, but he got wiped out immediately. And then Cena, I mean, he took care of Solo, but Rock came out. They look at each other. Cena goes to punch him, or Rock just fucking destroys him. that was like instant.
But at least it was the Rock. I mean,
Cena's
it had to be
him. Anyway, but he's bulletproof. I mean, he lost to fucking Austin Theory a year ago. wasn't even on Mania. I think that,
or he won the tag titles. You know, you pay attention much.
Come on. The A-Town's way down. No, I don't want to say those. What was I gonna say? Oh, Taker. I saw someone mention earlier today that it was cool too to give him one last Mania moment that wasn't the COVID Boneyard Mania. I know the Boneyard match ended up being good and whatever, but like, for that to be the guy who, like, symbolizes WrestleMania, so tied to the history of WrestleMania, and that, like, is his last moment, you know, was in that fucking match. Like, at least this was like a if this is it for him. He may show up again. I mean, he's not that old, right? He'll probably pop up here and there.
He said he would never show up.
Right. But you know, if this is it, I think this is like a way better way to go out, where he stood up. Because Reigns ostensibly ended his career as well. I know he fought a little bit more after that, but for all intents and purposes, like, he ended it at 33. So, like, there was some payback in there as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Taker and Dusty go way back. Like, you can tie that together.
Yeah, first match with Dusty in the WWE.
Like, the original final boss, you know, Undertaker holding the wrestler's cord or whatever in the late 90s. So, and I mean, there was a lot of thread lines there.
Yeah, and then Solo took out Cena. And then Jimmy and – do you think they held back on Jimmy and Jay – match quality wise, just so they could have that moment at WrestleMania?
Maybe, but that's
so disappointing.
That was the most disappointing match of the
night. Yeah, I rewatched that. I really think that's the pivot of that show. Just in what I watched, I hadn't watched the main event of night one yet, but and watching that show, like, the Andrade
Ray Tag was disappointing, and that was another one that live was a little tough, as we thought it was the OC, and then you turned to the mask and it was like, oh,
yeah, definitely.
And then it was like, oh, that's I get he's an Eagle tackle, but he's an Eagles tackle, not exactly.
Well, Kelsey's more, I think Kelsey was
a nice get, but if it had been like the Kelsey brothers, like now that would have been, of course, like all time, but you know, whatever. But yeah, to have two white guys interfere that look almost the same size or not too far off from Gallows and Anderson, it was a tough look. But then you follow that up with Jimmy versus Jay, and you're like, all right, like if this over delivers, then we can get some momentum going into the final few matches. And it stung. Like there was no intensity. Jay looks like an idiot shaking his hand during that match, and they get punked out. Like, it was bad. I mean, Jey Uso to me is someone that it's now time to have a serious conversation on, because main event Jey Uso is not exactly throwing out bangers after bangers between the SummerSlam, this one. He's had a little rough go at it, in my opinion, on his major matches.
And he's still over. at what level, really?
At what level? Yeah, I think
this is going to put him back together. I mean, I think you're going to have Rock or someone blames Jimmy, whatever. You didn't do your fucking job. Maybe Heyman's riding him.
Yeah.
They bring in Fatu and they attack him, and Jay makes a save. Like, I think just get him back together. I mean, they did it for the Hardys all those years ago, right? They're mashed together, stunk, and they got him back together. Like, no one's going to care, and they're so fucking awesome together. And you can still do stuff. They don't only have to be a team, but I think that's when they're at their best.
Absolutely.
In the build, they left the door open for them to get back together.
Yeah.
So.
Video package before the match was more like, you know, like if you have a twin, you have like a bond that you can't break. And it was just bizarre. Like
it didn't feel like a blood feud. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They missed the momentum not doing it right away after SummerSlam. It just stunk. It just stunk at the end of the day. That's all it was. It just stunk.
It was a bad match.
It just stunk. But yeah, match of that night one, Sami Zayn, Gunther all day.
Yeah, unfortunately, with that one, I did rewatch that match again.
I haven't yet. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah,
it is
a great match. They do, I think we talked about this at our tailgate ride, they do really hyperdrive going into like the finishing sequence. Yeah. Like,
a little behind, probably.
Like 3 to 4 minutes in. It's like, all right, we're going in. To where I think if they could have gave them
few more minutes.
8 minutes from the main event and put it on this, we'd have been really talking about like a classic. So like, I still think it's a great match with a great story, and like Gunther is just a prick and gives a great performance. You know, Zayn busts out the Brain Buster, which is probably the most I marked out like individually myself. With both nights, like I was jumping up and down, going nuts. I mean, that's just a movie as it done since he became Sami Zayn.
And that's great that he held them in the holster for this.
Yeah. I mean, to really like hold out the stuff with, I mean, some of the matches with Owens and even like,
not even, I was just gonna say, not even using that in a blood feud with Owens, you know, that's
so good to use it in this really, really helped. And the moment was great. So, I mean, it's still a great match. In rewatching it, it was one of those that was like, all right, I mean, it's a great match. You're easily the best match on night one.
I don't know if it's past 4.25.
Like it's in the 4.25 range. So great match, but just it could have been I really think it could have been a classic with more
time. Honestly, low key, too much wife, pan into the wife a little bit too much.
Yeah. You
know, bring that drama in ring. Sammy's good. He's sympathetic. We get it. You know what I mean? Just put that drama in ring with Sammy, not with the wife. A little bit too much mellowness.
It's tough with that. It's tough to do that with him and Sammy and his wife, and then immediately go with Cody and Mama Rose and all that. It's like too much with the family drama.
I'm glad they didn't do anything with Gable, though. Like Gable cost.
Yes. No, that, I mean, it being clean and now you can, I mean, it perfectly sets up a lot of cool stuff, like where Gable and Sammy have their match now. And I saw somebody say that, you know, you could always do the Brett Backlund, like 94 route on that match where it's like it's friendly till it's not, but Gable snaps. So that'd be great. I'm all in on that.
Something we need to keep in mind in future WrestleManias is, especially with Triple H WrestleManias, he really loves that sixth or seventh slot right before that main event. Last year at Charlotte and Rhea, this year it's Sammy, this year again at Bayley. He really loves that semi-main spot to really put a shine on someone. But that really, instead of having that being in the middle show, which should have been an old trope, it just kind of shows that how over everyone is at that level where they can go 6-7 home run after home run and keep everyone engaged after a super long night, especially two nights in. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind.
I didn't feel like either night felt long. I mean, I think it's a bonus of the two nights. Like even in Dallas, neither night felt that long to me. I feel like it's clearly helped the media vibe. They have a lot less gaga bullshit. Like, they pretty much go match to match outside of a couple of little ads and video packages and stuff. But like, there's no long drawn out segments like we used to get. Even like the Hall of Fame thing was quick. So I think the nights move. I think the only thing that dragged was the main event on night one. I mean, and that's because the match was 45 minutes. I just think if they trim that up a little bit.
Well, granted, they were slotted. We said Meltzer's a little hot lately. So Meltzer said they went 11 minutes over.
Yeah.
So where did they go over? Where did they go over that 11 minutes within the match? I don't know.
The intros were too long on that match.
The intros were too long, and that first 10 minutes was too long. Like, we didn't need all that opening. Like, just get into the hot brawl, go into the crowd right away, and get it going.
Mind you, the point of being, you know, Cody has those long entrants. Cody's out there first. He's in the ring for fucking legit 15 to 20 minutes before the bell starts. They kind of need to go slow to get this going. They got two nights of WrestleMania. They can't afford either one of those guys to get hurt. So it's they got to get the blood going again. So, it's a spectacle.
I think they definitely expected with the first 5 or 10 minutes, like the crowd would just be so molten that it would carry it. And, I mean, I don't think the heat was awful for that match, but certainly like the singles match on night two had more investment and more.
I hate to blame it because I was sick of seeing all the comments. The temperature didn't help.
Like, temperature didn't help. I mean,
night one was fucking cold, and people were like, by that point in the night, we're probably freezing and hard to get. Night two was beautiful. It was gorgeous out until late, and I think the blood was flowing more. Like everyone was just up at it more. Like it just felt much. The energy was higher, I think, because not everyone was fucking frozen to their seat like the first.
Yeah, temperature, and I would say like 20 minutes made a big difference because the bell rung on Roman and Cody night two about 20 minutes before it did on the main event at night one. That it just felt like
they could have talked.
Mean, it felt like the night two show was chugging along a lot more. One thing I do like, especially with the two nights, is they don't do any pre-show matches. Yeah, I think that helps too because
I like the DJ.
I mean, we got into our seats at a good time where it was about 10, 15 minutes before the show. And it's like, all right, they introduced Cole, they introduced Corey Graves, they introduced McAfee, and then you're right into it. Here we go.
And nothing to me felt like, I mean, I sat through all 35, I sat through all 32. And I remember those main events and just being like, oh my God, I am so fucking exhausted. And I didn't feel that way in either of those ones. Again, night one, yes, a little bit more. But even that didn't feel like, I just was just a little disappointed. It was cold, but I didn't feel like, all right, we've been here all fucking night. Let's go home. Like at 32. Right. So the two nights has definitely been a godsend for them because what time did that night one end? 11:15?
Half an hour. Yeah,
night one shows a little over 4 hours in total.
Yeah. I mean, that's for a Mania. That's tight. I mean, 7 to 11:15 is like that you, we would have killed for that seven years ago.
I mean, night two, we were back to our hotel by 11 PM. So
yeah, night one.
It was 3 hours and 35 minutes.
Night one, we were back around 11 Pacific time.
11 Pacific time. Night one, we were back to our hotel about 11 p.m. all night, too. So that was the first idea now.
All right, may I ask which women match did you prefer more?
I'm Bayley Io Sky person. I do think I agree with what you say, Ryan, about the semi-made spot. One thing that I kind of, I don't know, the first match, I think if it's a big match, which it seems like they're going to be doing now with like really big matches in that first spot on each night, it either needs to be the like Brock Rollins formula, which seems like they've kind of the guys that perfected it, where, 10 minutes or less, or you know, maybe we could get one epic one. Becky and Rhea, I thought was very good, but I did that middle ground where again it went like 50 minutes. It was very good for what it was, but could have been
fourth gear. Really, they kind of stayed in third gear, and then they got to fourth gear, and they kind of went to three plus, and they didn't finish that four. They didn't even.
They're handcuffed with time because it's just enough to where, like, you're gonna have enough time to where it can't be a sprint, but not enough time to where you get that connective tissue to really like build up from something like Charlotte Rhea. Like that match builds and builds where you start to get the brutality and then the amazing kickouts. You know, it's that 5 to 10 minutes before that lays the groundwork to get the investment for that.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, it's like it is. If it's 9 minutes in and you're already doing finishers and stuff like that, but the match had felt like a sprint, it's just going to feel like, okay, like this is better than a TV match, but it's not going to be like a classic.
Would you put anything on Becky being sick affecting that too?
Maybe, like, yeah. I didn't know.
Did they play into that on commentary show?
Road or whatever. I didn't notice much on that, but could be, but I mean, it is what it is. Like,
it's really good. I like Bayley.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's definitely a good, very good match. It's just the way it was structured. Like, I mean, as much of a turd as Jimmy and Jay were, I still say you could have just switched those matches, gave them more time in that fourth or fifth slot, which is where like Becky Bianca was at 38 and Charlotte Rhea. And it could have been. Super.
Yeah,
let the Usos go sprint to start the night and get in and out.
I kind of think the Usos were designed not to go out there and leave it for night two in retrospect now, but it's still very, very disappointing for
just,
what it was.
Didn't the match. Just have to be in the fucking corner then. Say they're the issue is too big. We need them, you know, in their they're gonna be the corner men, whatever, for Rock and for Reigns and Cody. And don't do the match or make the fucking main event a success.
They have a match in the fall after SummerSlam. That's what it
is. Yeah, do it then and then save them for something else here. If you're gonna throttle it down, if that's really what happened. But
yeah. Like I don't know if we'll ever get a definitive number, like probably from traditional pay-per-view, whatever's still left of that, on whether like night one, night two drew more. Night one being the Rock's match, I would guess it was that. Yeah.
I would assume Sunday though, and it's not against an NCAA tournament.
That's true too. I'd be very interested to see like who what had more live viewers on Peacock Saturday or Sunday, just to see because I did think like in watching it Saturday, you know, now that I went to Rumble 2023, we're a couple years into like the Levesque era or whatever, and to be honest, like his PLE performance in my mind was pretty lacking. I think WrestleMania 39 night one is super, but besides that,
you know, some of that I take with a grain of salt because I don't think you can quantify him really being in charge until Vince is gone. Yeah. I think that stretched Vince and Pritchard are still, I think Vince is still feeding shit in and Triple H is still, even if Vince isn't giving him direction, I think he's still doing it with him in mind a little bit because he knows he's still there. I don't think you can count the Triple H retirement. And that's why I think they went in heavy on it, both on Raw and at WrestleMania. This is Triple H's, the new Paul Levesque. Like, I think they know he is finally cooking on his own with no overlord over him. So I think now is when you can really start to judge him fairly. Whenever it was that Vince was gone, what was the first one he was gone? Officially, Survivor Series, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was SummerSlam 2022.
Well, no, I meant gone
second time. On this time, it was around Rumble.
Yeah, so I think Rumble is where you can start, and we know that. I mean, that was kind of shaky too, but
yeah,
I think Rumble on is where you can say, okay, this is now Triple H's era. I think that 22 to 23 period where Vince is gone, to me, I don't put too much into that because I think he was still pulling the strings from behind the curtain.
Yeah, it was just tough after night one. Like it was one of those things where it's like it becomes a debate in my mind where it's like, okay, like obviously I'm here hanging out with my friends that carries a lot of goodwill, but I'm paying good money to watch these shows, and both with the Rumble 2023 and Night One of WrestleMania, it was like, I might could have just skipped out on that show, done everything else the weekend, and probably would have been fine. Like, I didn't feel like I had to be there for that. And Night Two, I was very happy to be in the building. Well,
and this was really the first Mania of the double night stretch where I think Night Two outdid Night One, right? Because, I mean, I think 39, Night One was better.
39 easily, Night One's better than Night Two.
And I think 38, Night One is better, too.
Yep, 38.
You get Bianca, Becky, right? You get Ronda, Charlotte, for those like that. You get Cody, Seth.
Yeah,
Cody, Seth, all the Austin stuff, right? I think Night Two has Knoxville,
and then the main event's horrendous,
and the main event's bad. So yep. I think 37. I have to think back.
Night Two of 38 as well.
Yeah, and 37 as well. You think
37's probably more even. Probably just with the Bianca Sasha stuff all Night One, it seems to be like the main.
But this is the first time.
Then you had Bad Bunny right before that too.
I think it's the first time a Night Two is clearly better than Night One.
We can get into it here, but we probably need to rank like where we think Night Two just ballpark slots in on all time radio shows.
Because you can't break them up. It says
I think you got to rank it as one show.
You got to rank
it. It's got to be up there. Just put it up there.
You got to rank it.
4-hour show.
But see, I don't think Night One is that bad though. I think Night One was just kind of middling, and I think Night Two raises it up. I don't think Night One's bad.
Night One's pretty bad.
No, Night One can be it's just disappointing because the expectations.
Night One's like one great match, one very good match, and then I don't know.
Usos though, was anything below? What's your lowest grade on that night? If it says Usos,
the six woman is
two and a half.
The ladder match,
that's hard to rate. That's a gentleman's three.
I'm done with that stuff, and I didn't think it was that. The rules were confusing. I'm admittedly definitely not an R-Truth guy. I was glad I was next to Sean Kidd, and we could. I mean, it's just I don't understand why Eugene in 2024 gets this support. I mean, he's
endearing. He's whatever. No, fine.
Definitely not. Terrible. So that would, to me, I had one match ranked at, 4 4/4, the openers, whatever. Main event, I still don't know. But definitely too long, and then the rest is below good. So, I don't think it's like all time bad, but I don't think if you put it up against any of the other singular shows, it's not.
Well, again, it depends how you rank them. All right, so if you rank it as one show,
I think it's tough to beat. I mean, it versus 39, I think is tough.
To me, 39 is like a top three show now. Like I watched it back recently. I think I have it up with 17, 19, 30, like three. Like I think it's whatever your top five are, I think it's there. I don't know how it's not. I mean, you have, the IC's five. At least or close to it, if you don't think it's five.
The three on Saturday.
Cody Roman's great. The main event of Night One is great. The super kick spamming at the end is a bit much, but I think that match is great. So I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff in there. Yeah. And it holds up. Oh, in Charlotte Rhea. I mean, there's a lot that holds up on that card because it's one I watched recently. So I have 39 really high. So I don't think this is near 39. I think it's probably ahead of 38.
Yeah.
Because I watched 37 recently enough to say. But I don't know. I'd have to look at my top 10 for No Holds Barred. I don't know if it's there. Maybe top 15.
Yeah, 15. I would think it'd be a fun comparison probably to something like 31 or 28 even too.
In my opinion, it's like how well is this Night 2 main event going to age with history? How the weight is going to be carried. This is the ultimate definition of way too soon to kind of feel out as a WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, that's the sneaky thing on these, like, every 10 years you get this feel-good moment. I mean, WrestleMania 10, just because Brett now has this somewhat of a, he has his legacy, right? But that title run from a business perspective, like even though that's his signature run, like we know, like 94 is pretty rough period with the steroid trial.
Yeah, but a lot of what cut carries 10, yes, that moment, but it also has the two all-time matches on the card.
Two all-time matches.
It's not like that moment is what everyone remembers from that show. I think it's the third thing you think of. I think you think of Bret Owen, you think of Razor Shawn, and then you think of Bret on the shoulders.
And then 20, you got Benoit, which, you know, we can leave it at that. Then
yeah, even before he did what he did,
right?
That already got diminished because of the follow up was Settle Rain is garbage.
Same with 30.
I mean, 30 is the same. Yeah. I think 30 gets diminished. You think of Daniel Bryan Triple H over the main event. I think when you think of that show, you think of the streak, right? So yeah, I think all three.
I think of him holding the belts at the end.
You know? Yeah, but the title reign, I think it hurts it less than the other two. So I think Cody really has to buck the trend of. To Chad's point, the crowning guy on that 10th Mania, the title reign has never really panned out after. I think Bret had the best of the three, obviously. Yeah, but again, business-wise, wasn't. So I think Cody's going to step up and say, okay, like, I think that's how that main event's going to, your point, Ryan, is going to get looked at long-term. Is this an epic title run? Or is it Bryan and Benoit and Bret, you know, 4.0, where it's like, by SummerSlam, they're taking the belt off him because it's falling apart. But, which happened with all three of those guys, pretty much.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as, like, faces getting their first title win at Mania, then you start comparing it beyond, like, the 10-10-10 thing. You start comparing it to, like, Savage at 4, Warrior at 6.
Batista,
Shawn at 12, Austin at 14. And you see where it slots in on some of those. And some of those... You know, like I mean, Warrior at 6, I think, is a great comparison where that match is still held up. It's like, wow, great match, great moment they overperformed. But, I mean, that title reign is what it is afterwards. And this match could be like that, too. It's like, oh, well, they culminated the story. They built this perfect narrative. But if the follow-up's not there, it's just going to be kind of – that's where the accolades end.
Well, you're going to get the people that have been – You know, there was a large contingent that thought Cody should lose on Sunday, like a very vocal contingent. So where they're going to chirp up, right? See, they killed the bloodline before they should have. There was still money to be made. There was a mistake. You know, they should have turned it out even longer, right?
Well, my question to Marcus at the end of the debate was, where could you see Cody landing compared to Benoit, Bryan, and Bret legacy-wise? Well, just to go with the 10-10-10, right? Yeah, and he said he has the most upside out of all of them. That's coming from the biggest Bret Hart guy we know.
Well, I'll tell you why. I agree 1,000% because they like him. Like Bret was, they went back to him because Luger bombed out. Hogan bombed out. They went back to Bret. He's all reliable. Benoit, they pretty much went kicking and screaming into giving him that freaking title run because he had worked his ass off. The crowd was asking for it. Heyman was behind it. Yep. And they're like, okay, fine. We'll give it the moment. They treated him like garbage after.
They needed something.
Bryan was not even supposed to be near that fucking main event, right? And then he gets hurt anyway. But even if he didn't get hurt, that title run is ending by summer.
Yeah, I mean, he's facing Kane. He's dead
by Bryan. So I think this is the first time of those 10s that they actually are behind this guy as like a major star. Like, I mean, he's already won 2 Rumbles. Like, you know, like they clearly think very highly of him. And I think this is the first of those where it's not just like, okay, we either, you know, we're stuck with it or the crowd forced our hand.
Yeah, the crowd forced our hand we got to give them their moment. Yeah. And treated it almost like, I mean, for each of 10, 20, 30, in a lot of ways, it did feel like Cal Tippett to like the hardcores in a lot of ways too. Like this one's more of a casual, you know, he's on the Today Show,
It was Bryan and Benoit were very similar, very similar. They just got hot around the same period. Foley would have been that way too, but they didn't do it, right? Because like Foley in 99 into 2000, I mean 98 to 99. The thing is, everyone, Austin is such a fucking juggernaut that everyone was okay with it. I don't think anyone was that fucking sad that Foley wasn't in that main event, but he was getting to that point. Coming off of it, they just Austin was just too big of a juggernaut.
So to kind of go full circle here, where do you kind of see Cody got landing? Do you think he's going to stay hot? Do you think business is going to continue to rise? Do you think his body will hold up? As we hinted, he's a little old and he's got some tread on the tires here, especially going hard for the last year. Where do you kind of see him? Do you see him like as the Orton level, or do you think he'll reach that Cena level?
I have him Cena level. I think you know, it's tough to predict anybody as of now is going to be as hot as Hogan, Austin, Rock, that kind of lexicon of overness.
Because Cena was never that over.
No, I mean, Cena's a level under that, but Cena in many ways is kind of a level of his own too. I mean, I think Cody has a chance to be at that next level now with Cena. Cena's absolutely, like, if you talk about, you know, top 10.
Like, I think Cena's best comp is like Backlund, like a guy that is was on top forever. They loved him. They pushed him no matter what, like whatever the reaction was. He had his fans. He had his detractors. Like Cena and Backlund are actually kind of, to me, in that same tier.
Yeah, it's really
old Backlund. Not all the time, but the original Backlund. I think they're actually a very similar, you know, carried the company during not the hottest period, but they were the.
And I have both of them above somebody, like, just from a company legacy perspective, above like a Brett or Shawn, though, for me, just because of how long they held the belt and how long they had to anchor the promotion.
Yeah, each had a year in the 90s or a year and a half, maybe even two. That's it, really.
So I definitely think there's potential. I mean, I would say anything short of that, like if he, like I made the Batista comp earlier, I think, you know, 5 years down the road, if we're talking about it, Cody, for some reason, it doesn't pan out. He has injury, you know, whatever the case. If it's not a very successful, like, culminating raid, that, I mean, he don't have to have the belt for years either, too. I mean, he can lose it.
Look at Austin. What's Austin's total title reign? He didn't have a long reign until he was
five, but yeah.
Four months, 5 months total. Barely any, you know?
They're definitely going to be doing longer raids now, but, I mean, he's not going to be holding this belt for 4 years.
Rock didn't have it. If you look at Rock's face reigns, I mean, that one in 2000 is his longest, and it's like 4 months or whatever it is. So it's like, you know, I think if you could take injuries out of it, if you could tell me going in, he's going to stay relatively healthy. And I would say of the modern era, which is like Hogan on, so forget Bruno and all that. I would say from Hogan on, I think he has the potential to be a top five, like, star draw. And that's with Austin, Hogan, Rock, Cena, and him. I think he's got a chance to be there, right? I think what will determine that will he be more like a Punk, which is like the next level down, right? Or Sean Brett Punk. You know, Taker's almost in his own world, right? I don't think there'll ever be another Undertaker. Because I don't think there'll ever be an Undertaker in the realm that a guy that's been around forever has a lot of bad, a lot of good. like I think Triple H is probably Taker's best comp, honestly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a dying breed. I think that's the tier we're talking. Well,
what about Cody? Where do you put Roman in
all? I was just going to say, where do you put Roman? It's like,
he's never going to have a raid too like this. Like, he's, I mean, this is his.
It's also unconventional too.
I would hope this is his signature raid. I mean,
I'd put him probably with the Cena Backlund group. I think he's a guy that steered the promotion for a long time, had his detractors, had his fans. You can maybe put him a level above because
I think he's a level up, man.
Yeah,
like,
you can't cherry pick. Went up. Yeah, but you can't cherry pick his, like, the bloodline's awesome, but you can't discount WrestleMania 32. WrestleMania 33, WrestleMania 34, WrestleMania 38. I mean, there's like a lot of bad fucking main events in there.
We're talking about this run, though. We're not talking about him.
Well, I can cherry pick a Cena run that's just as good as that. I'm talking about.
He's not active either.
You can't cherry pick a Cena run that looks like Reigns' run.
I'm talking their main event run. Roman Reigns became a main eventer in 2015. Whether it's a heel or face, he became main eventer in 2015.
I look at it as two different worlds.
I mean,
it's unconventional. He changed the game. He was the heel.
Kudos to him. That because
he never went with the heel.
You could say in 2019. I mean, you're talking even four levels below that. I think the fact that he even got to that Cena level is a fucking miracle.
Alberto Del Rio in 2019.
It took a 4-year title reign to get him at this level, and it was. You know, whether it was, say, it was by attrition, because the first couple of years, like, you had COVID and stuff like that, but, like, stuff wasn't trending great for him. And then all of a sudden, stuff started looking a lot better, where if he was announced on the show, because he was sporadic, everything seemed to go up from.
If he never comes back from the cancer diagnosis, right, in 2019, he's done then. Like,
yeah, he's. He's like, not even Batista. I would say Ultimate Warrior or worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think not just saying that. Saying he's at a Cena Backlund level is not a diss. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean,
second tier. That's our, we're talking second tier all time, like torchbearer. You know, like I Austin Rock Hogan, that's like its own stratosphere.
You can't compare to that.
Cody has a chance. I think
you need time with that. Yeah. I think you need time.
The only reason I think he has a chance is because of his name, his legacy, Triple H being in charge, and he's a dusty fucking mark all through and through, right? Like Cody has a lot going for him right now. He's got the look, he's got the talk, he's got the hot wife, he's got this family, he's got the story. You know, we still got time. Dustin's going to come back at some point. You know that's going to happen. Like, there's a lot that can play out for him, and he can be the face of the company that you need to be to make that leap, right? He can do all the talk show circuit. He can do the Make-A-Wish stuff. Like, and it's natural. It's not forced, right? He's that next evolution of that guy. So I think he's
become organic. Didn't force it.
He's either going to be in that Cena, Reigns, Backlund level, or he has the potential for the Austin Rock Hogan level. Somewhere in there is where he's going to be.
So we'll speak. We'll see in a few years. Yeah. What's next for him? What do you do? What do you do? Do you do something weird like Fatu, or do you get him completely away from the bloodline?
Get him out of the fucking bloodline. I think AJ, I think Lashley. AJ Lashley, eventually Gunther. I think that's you get three.
It's not sexy, Finn Balor.
I think Balor could be fine. I think AJ is the perfect, like...
I think they would have had AJ win at WrestleMania, though, even though his job was to put over LA.
He's bulletproof. That was more for LA than for anything with AJ. If you move AJ to Raw, you just do it. I mean, who cares? Like, let him get through Jay. I think Cody's going to get through Jay, whenever that's going to be. And then you have AJ as his next challenger, or Lashley, however you want to stack it. Like, I think Lashley's a great choice for him because he can work. They'll have a great match. He's a ready-made, you know, heated up contender.
He's bigger, he's stronger.
I think they'd have some great matches. Yeah. I think he could be like a little bit of his like Koloff, you know, like to Dusty, like just, you know, come in, just be the big guy, you know, to beat him up or whatever. And I think they could have a fun little 2-month series, and you don't need much more than that. Give him a fucking chain match. That'd be awesome.
Solo would feel terrible. Maybe Fatu, but I just get away from him.
I mean, the bloodline, besides Rock and Roman, they need some rehabbing.
They can rehab in the next 3 months.
Solo hasn't won a match since he beat Cena. Jimmy and Jay, we talked about.
Them in the Judgment Day. That would be great. Like,
they got the new guys coming in. So, yeah, they need a little spark.
You could even give them Naomi. If you want to go that, but if you want someone against Rhea, like if you want to go Judgment Day Bloodline, you could stack them up. You know what I'm saying? Like you can, if you want to make it all in feud.
I just
hope they don't go Gunther right now because I don't want Cody Gunther right now. That doesn't do either one.
That's Mania good. For me. I think even SummerSlam's too soon for that. I think that's Mania.
Yeah.
Bash Berlin at the earliest.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a fun debrief. I mean, there's still so much more you could talk about from Mania weekend, but I think we hit the highs, we hit the lows, we hit the what's to come. You know, where Cody, let us know in the comments, like where do you see Cody going long term? If you had to throw a stake in the ground right now, I'll go Rock, Reigns, Cody, Gunther at Mania 41. Jade and Rhea. I'll throw that out there. I know. I think they're all behind. I think they're super into her. I think they're super behind her.
No, I think we got Bianca. Rhea is a potential.
Jade, they may want to make it. They're going to be something for Jade. Jade, Charlotte, whatever it is. Like,
it's something, but.
Yeah, they're going to see her as a
star. I don't know. I actually don't know. I mean, that's probably a short enough time to where they won't figure it out, but still, like, I mean, you know, we've had limited stuff, of course. In the Rumble, she was fine, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm sticking with Rock, Cody, Punk, McIntyre, actually, for Rome.
Next year?
41.
Next year?
You think they can drag Punk McIntyre out that long?
Yep.
Ah, that's a leap. I wouldn't rule out Punk Roman
either. I wouldn't rule out Rock, Roman, Punk, Cody, actually, too.
Yeah. If you don't do
Punk. You forget Punk's in the mix.
Well, Rock Romans doesn't have to be for any kind of belt. So, I mean, you can do Cody Punk
championship,
and Gunther could be the SmackDown champion, right?
Yeah, I mean, that actually, if you could do like a triple on the men's side of Rock Roman, Punk, Cody, and then Gunther defended against whomever, I mean, that would be
Owens, or you can even heat Owens back up. I mean, there's plenty of guys you can throw in there. Like,
Sammy might be in the mix too. This is three manias in a row where he was shining really well.
I'd be all in on that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's three big matches you can easily do. And yeah, so Rock Roman not being for a bell and being for the tribal chief or whatever the fuck is like, that gives you a ton of other possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think we've seen Cena. I mean, he probably is due to have one good legacy match. You would hope he could turn out the plot for something. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Gunther destroying him too. Drago would be great.
Brock's probably going to be around. So, I mean, there's definitely bodies.
Brock Gunther is another potential.
Yeah, Brock Gunther. Yeah. In Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. I think at the least you're getting Rock Roman. I think Punk Drew
at some point. Yeah. I mean, Rock Roman has to happen at some point, whether
I think the farther away the better, honestly. Let them build.
I think Cody beating the Rock at SummerSlam is the move. That's a big one to put under his belt right there.
Yeah, but then you have the Rock. You go have the Rock lose twice in a row.
I think Roman fucks
the Rock just won.
Rock just beat Cody. Cody gets
the win back. SummerSlam, but then Roman, you would assume, would be.
Yeah, but I think Roman. I think SummerSlam's not clean. I think Roman fucks up. Either he fucks up on purpose or by accident. I think something happens and he screws him. And then that gives Rock fuel to, give him the boot ski.
Last time Roman went away, he showed up out of nowhere at SummerSlam. Could do the same. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he shows up there as his big return. And I think the bigger, not bigger thing, but the surprising thing too is you look at NXT, like, I feel like every year we'd be talking right now, like, oh, who's going to make the jump? Who's coming up? I don't feel like anyone is ready there. I mean,
Mello's too small. I'll die on that. Mello's too small. Trick has potential, but it wasn't a great weekend, I would say, for him, because that match probably going in could have been one of those like matches where you would say like, oh, they had this great match. Yeah. Trick proved he's a main man, which, I mean, the match he had with Ilya was great. Like, that was a great match, and that did seem to put him on that trajectory. And it was another kind of like Becky Rhea match. Like, it was too short. It was too long to be a sprint, too short to really be much. And even
Ilya's awesome, you know what my takeaway from that was? My takeaway from what's that was, it wasn't about Trick. It was about making his finisher, because they kind of did his finisher a little dirty with the Dragunov's mask leading in. And he really needs that signature move to kind of help him get to that next level and to kind of help him get to Ilya when it matters. So that's kind of my takeaway from it.
And
it,
I think Ilya's going to be great too, but I don't think he's going to be like a superstar on the main roster.
So, I don't know, man. I could see
a guy that can be in a main event.
At this point, I mean, Damian Priest is one of their world champions now, so I'm not going to say like...
There's a tier between being a world champion main eventer and like being a star, right? Like, I'm talking about, there's no Ilya one in NXT right now that's like, here's the big breakout guy that we get to see in the main roster. Braun, but I feel like he's dulled over the last 6 months too.
Obafemi's so incomplete. He's had like,
I know, matches. It could be. That's why it's a could be. He's had like, what, 10 matches, if that?
Could be. It could be.
I think they fucked up a breaker. I think they should have brought him up last year, or even 2 years ago. We were talking about in Dallas again when he fought Dolph or whatever. Like, oh, he's coming up the next night. We've been talking about him coming up the fucking next night for how long? It's like,
takes a few spears and he's kind of
I know. I think he's got the most potential, him and Trick probably are too, but I'm just saying it's pretty thin down there as far as like stars.
Women's side too, I would say. Yeah, but women's side's maybe even more alarming because
besides Roxy, I mean, who else Tiffany's is there?
Julia going down there, she'll be all right. And Roxy just declared for the draft, so
yeah, she's gonna be good, but there's not much else. And I mean, Tiff is already up, and even she's already kind of lost in the shuffle.
And have a Mania match.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was saved, but all right. That's NXT for you.
Yeah. All right. That's everything. So let us know your thoughts. Thanks for watching. Subscribe. We had an awesome Mania season. Big thanks to you, Ryan. Churned out a shitload of content. between the previews, the countdowns, ranking all the WrestleMania matches. It was a great WrestleMania season here at the No-So. I want to thank everyone who helped us drive up subscriptions and likes and comments and all that. You know, we grew quite a bit, and it's all thanks to the viewers and listeners. So big thank you there. We'll keep rolling on doing our thing. So give us any ideas you have, any comments along the way. Hopefully everyone enjoyed WrestleMania weekend and on the road already to WrestleMania 41 before you know it. Story's been finished.